Hi, everybody, and welcome to Unified, a podcast feed from First Church Belmont Unitarian Universalist. We'll be sharing sermons and stories, special thematic content made new every week. We're so glad you're here, and for more information about who we are and opportunities to grow and deepen, swing by the church on Sundays or check out our website at uubelmont.org. And for now, enjoy this new content.
Travel is fatal to prejudice, bigotry, and narrow-mindedness, and many of our people need it sorely on these accounts. Mark Twain. Ea ate abini. Good morning. My name is Rayanne, and I am the youth director here at First Church. And I, along with our intern minister, Sophia, had the honor of leading the service learning trip to Navajo Nation this past February, in case you missed it. As many of you know, or maybe not, maybe you don't know, but now you will, I was raised and very active in the evangelical and Pentecostal Christian church. In fact, I have been leading service learning trips for nearly 15 years now. But what began as a goal to save the world from the fiery pits of hell backfired. My worldview cracked. The more trips I led, the more I learned. And the more I learned, the more scared I became. Everything I thought I knew about God, Jesus, my intrinsic value, my purpose in life, fell through my tightly clenched fists like smooth and tiny grains of precious sand. I felt as though these experiences and life lessons were slowly splitting the seams of confidence and assuredness that I relied on so heavily. But that wasn't the case. At some point, I embraced the breakdown of my reality and found that the cramped and undersized stronghold that I thought was protecting me wasn't shattering, but was being opened. One journey at a time, one new friend, one new word, and one new language, chipping away at my personal holding cell. Cloaked in holy white saviorism, I thought I was saving people through these trips, but in the end, I realized these experiences saved me from living a closed and bigoted life, and they taught me how to learn. Because of my personal faith history, I am careful where I take these groups and cautious when choosing partnerships. And I use Sunday morning services like these as personal requiems for the antiquated weapon that is narrow-minded religion. Still, as open-minded as I know myself to be, the Navajo Nation, with its sandstone playgrounds, resilient history, and profound friendship, peeled back yet another confining and limiting layer of how I see the world and experience life. I no longer claim to know a lot, but one thing I know for sure about evangelical dogma is that my God was deeply concerned about deeds, my actions, my to-do list, you know, the one that would save me from fiery damnation because I was born into sin, born a sinner. And so my story has been one of undoing and deconstruction. But I want to tell you the story of another, and her name is Changing Woman. Before the European concept of governance was introduced, the Diné governed their society through values called Diné Lifeway. This communal-based system valued harmony and reciprocity between tribe members, where the power flowed from the people upward to the leaders. The tribe was, and continues to be, organized through a matrilineal clan system, where the tribe attained their primary identity from the inheritance of their mother's clans. Who they are is where they came from. This is in part because of the influence of their holy people, one of their holy people, Changing Woman. Diné history traces back to the holy people, or the holy ones, who are an array of spiritual beings including divinities, ancestors, and supernatural entities. They include creators and first people alike. These entities hold significant roles in Diné spiritual and ceremonial practices. Almost always, they're linked with specific elements of the natural world, such as mountains, animals, and celestial bodies. You see, like the Diné, they acknowledge the interconnectedness of all living beings and stress the importance of preserving balance and harmony within the natural and spiritual realms. Changing Woman was one of the four sacred mountains that shaped Navajo Nation, known today by many as the San Francisco Mountains. A constant presence, Changing Woman was always on the horizon during our trip. She epitomizes the essence of familial bonds and their history, fertility, and life force within Diné culture. Revered as Shimé, or Mother, her significance lies in her authority, strength, and pivotal role in nurturing all life. Changing Woman rescued the Diné from imminent destruction when they faced infertility and the threat of malevolent beings. As the Earth Mother, she is credited with creating the land and sky. Her creation of the land and sky means perpetual sustenance for the Diné. Her generosity in providing these essential resources underscores her enduring reverence in Diné tradition, honored through countless rituals and ceremonies, many of which we got to be a part. For the Diné, Changing Woman, Earth Mother, shapes ideals of love, expectations for life, and how to connect with and relate to the earth. My story is the story of Eve, a woman with a garden and a forbidden tree. In Robin Wall Kimmerer's book, Braiding Sweetgrass, she explains how for tasting its fruit, Eve was banished from the garden, and the gates clanged shut behind her. An earth mother who was made to roam the wilderness and earn her bread by the sweat of her brow, wandering the earth into which she was cast. People in creation stories, like Changing Woman and Eve, serve as blueprints for our identity and understanding of the world. They deeply influence us, shaping our perceptions and actions, whether consciously or not. One narrative celebrates our connection to the living world, portraying a woman as Earth Mother, nurturing the environment for future generations. In contrast, the other depicts a woman as an exile, transient in an unfamiliar realm, seeking her true home in heaven. What if my story had not been one of undoing or deconstruction, but of creation, of belonging? Where you come from, your clan, your tribe, your ancestors, provide a foundation for who you are, and I can't help but wonder how I'd be moving through the world if my story was one of connection to the natural world and not of condemnation to it. Our group doesn't need to wonder so much anymore. On our trip to Navajo Nation, the Diné gave us many examples. As you've heard in these testimonies today, for the Diné, every moment was an opportunity to connect more deeply to our roots, to our gratitude, to our actions. They showed us how every breath we take can be an act of ritual. For better or worse, our histories shape us. Sometimes we may find ourselves celebrating, like today, where many of us are leaning into our Irish ancestry. So as we find ourselves on day 5, of 40 for the Earth, I want to challenge the ways your story has influenced the way you honor our Mother Earth. And you will have an opportunity to make those commitments if you haven't already between this or after the service. Our good deed checklists can make a profound impact. Do you know your carbon footprint? Have you considered a greener alternative to the milk you're buying? What about solar panels? Divesting from fossil fuels? We often express our gratitude toward our Mother Earth by doing the right thing, and we should continue to do so. But how often do we miss a chance to connect deeper, to say hello, to honor our mother because we value our relationship with her? As we honor our 40 for the Earth commitments, or make them today, What would it look like if you lived your moments in intentional relationship with the earth? Would you speak to her out loud? Would you walk barefoot more often? Would you sing to her or dance with her? Would you tend to her with a motherly care changing woman taught the holy ones and the Diné people? Good deeds, especially service, are not always an act of sacrifice or saving. Sometimes the best way to serve is to listen and to learn from them. Will you stop and listen and learn from Mother Earth?